Good morning, church family. Good freezing, slushy, cold morning. I'm glad you made it. I was honestly a little bit worried that that waking up to the sleet and freezing rain would hinder some of you from coming, but you're here, and I should have known better. So I'm thankful that you're here, and I'm excited to gather together. And this morning, we're going to look in 1 John chapter 4. So if you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. 1 John chapter 4. On Valentine's weekend, we're going to talk about love. Imagine that. Talking about love on Valentine's weekend. Now, I wish I could tell you that I was like a professional and I knew all that there is to know about love. But the truth is, I will never write a book on love. I won't be that. You won't see my name on the bestseller book list of, the love languages or whatever. That's just, God has not gifted me in that way. But I do know that we have a lot of teaching from the Word of God. We have a lot of teaching from Jesus himself on what it means and what it looks like to love. To love one another. So all throughout Scripture, we're commanded, to love. We're commanded to love one another. We're commanded to love God. We're commanded to love our enemies. We're commanded to love our children, our spouses. We see this idea of love all throughout Scripture. So what we're going to do this morning, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time. We're going to ask some questions, and try to get those questions answered from the Word of God. So the first thing we're going to try to figure out is what is love? Let's try to define it. We've been talking a lot about love in our Hope communities as well. We've been looking at different aspects and different relationships that we express that love. But we're going to try to define it. What is love? We're going to see. What is love, but where does it come from? Where does love come from? Where does it stem from? And then ultimately, we're going to ask the question, what does it look like? All right, so what is it? Where does it come from? And what does it look like if demonstrated for us? So when we talk about love, though, we see it all around us. I mean, you can't go anywhere. Well, now suddenly it's changed. I went to Walmart this morning, and love is gone, and now everything's green, and it's green and pink, and it's Easter, and it's... So just a side note. Candy companies and chocolate makers love these holidays. I mean, I feel like they live from holiday to holiday, and if you can find a way to make it about chocolate and candy, they'll do it. We still have Halloween candy at home. We still have Christmas candy at home. Now we have Valentine's candy at home. And pretty soon we're going to have Easter candy. I think, is there St. Patrick's Day candy? I think there is. There's candy for, I don't know why I'm talking about candy this morning. So we find ways to express love in different ways. And the candies, whatever, factory, I don't know, industry, is there an industry for candy making? They have decided that that candy is a way to show and express love by giving it to other people. But I want us to try to find a biblical explanation on what love really is, what it really looks like, because it's a huge part of our life. The other day, we were watching this, Danielle and I were watching this Hallmark movie. And, again, it was one of the same stories. They're all the same. They just are. And so, we're at the very end, the guy expresses his love at just the right time, and he gets off the subway, and they're like, oh, it's this beautiful thing. And then, and Danielle was like, oh, I love love. Because there's this something inside of us that has that desire for love. I found a video of kids that were expressing what they feel love is. So when they were asked, what is love, or what does love look like, they had some really interesting thoughts. So If that's ready, you guys can take a look.
Love is like over a gillion stuff.
Helping someone even if you don't want to.
When your parents or your teachers don't tell you to.
Giving away stuff that you really, really like.
If they want a toy, a share.
Sale. Toys.
It's smiling and saying good things about them.
I should say, you have very nice clothes on.
I hope my mommy.
I played with another person on the playground when she didn't have anybody to play with.
When people are loving to me, I feel like I should do it to someone else.
Because Jesus did the same for us.
It's like your daughter says you will have them do to you.
That you should treat the other one just like I've been treated before. Not like bad, but the times I've been good treated.
Nobody really wants to play with somebody who's being mean.
Being kind is helping those in need.
Give them some food.
Get fish and bread and green beans and peas and apples.
I'll ask my mom and or dad,
can we go get food for this hungry person that I found?
Love is
hugging your mom and helping her wash the dishes.
I just get the water thing and just spray them.
People show me love by holding my hand, and they also give me a kiss around the head when I am asleep very lightly.
There's people that don't get love in other places of the world.
You help them.
Just help people.
If we show people love, they can spread it all around the world.
Okay, come here, Mommy.
I'll show her something. I'll show you something. Come here, Mommy.
How cute is that? So what I just heard, though, at the end of that was, aw. That awe is what we're talking about this morning. It's that internal, there's something that's innate in us, that's created in us, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, about where that comes from, that just has this desire for a loving relationship. It's not just like romantic love, but we desire for love within family situations, and that's why when a relationship is broken, we have this desire to see what's broken be restored and be brought to and made whole again. And it's why when there's conflict within relationships, we desire to have that conflict. Nobody wants to live in conflict. You might enjoy family conflict or conflict with your husband or wife. Like nobody likes that. But as a result of the fall, we live in that world. We live in a broken world because of sin. And so because of that, every single day, our relationships are impacted by that. But we have this internal desire, and it's not something that we had to be taught. It's something that's in us. But we have this longing desire to be to have these relationships restored. I remember when I was in college. So when I was a freshman in college, and I was brand new to the school and had a new roommate, and so we were there, and one day after class, and I was just sitting there, I didn't have anything to do, and I didn't have any homework yet, so I was like, well, I'm just going to watch some TV, and a movie came on. If you guys have ever seen the movie A Walk to Remember, you ever seen that movie? I was watching this movie, and as a single guy in the college dorm by myself, and so if you don't know that movie, it's a love story. It's a love story about two teenagers that fall in love, and what he doesn't know is that she's sick. She's actually terminal, she's dying, but she didn't tell him that. She just said, don't fall in love with me. Well, he falls in love with her. I'm just giving you the snapshots of the story. And he falls in love with her, and she's like, I told you not to fall in love with me, but you did. And then at the very end, it gets to this point where she's so sick, now she's in the hospital. Well, a side story that they've been kind of building along the way is this idea that there's a broken relationship between the boy and his dad. His dad had walked out on his family, and so they were, like, broken. Their family system was broken. Their relationship was broken. And his dad was trying to repair things, but his son wanted nothing to do with him. So every time that his dad tried something, he just shut him down, said, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. I don't want anything from you. So there's this broken relationship. And then at the very end, he goes into the hospital. So there's this crazy scene where he goes in, the boy goes in to see his girlfriend. I don't even know their name, sorry. And they go into the hospital, and she's leaving the hospital. And he's like, what's going on? And she said, as she's leaving, she said, tell your dad thank you for me. And he's so confused, doesn't understand what's going on. And he finds out that his dad had paid the price for her to have the expensive home care and go home and receive care from home. And he had paid the entire bill. So then there's this final scene where he goes to his dad's door. And he knocks on the door, and his dad comes out. And you see this guy, this teenage guy, just break down and just start weeping as he says, thank you, thank you. And then they hug and they embrace. Now, I'm a college guy in my dorm room, and I'm losing it. Like, I'm just, and the music's going, it's so emotional. And at that second, my roommate walks in as I'm weeping, and he looks at me and looks at the TV and walks back out the door. It's like, what in the world did I just walk in on? But since I was a kid, like, there's always been this, like, particularly the father-son relationship. And I've always had a loving father. I know that's a huge blessing because not everybody gets that. But I have this loving relationship with my dad. So that's always been, like, really valuable to me. So when I see others that don't have that, it turns something inside of me. And so, but there's something that I think that God has put inside you and me, this desire for love, to love and to be loved, to have broken relationships restored and made whole again. So we're going to talk about three things. One, what is love? Two, where does it come from? And then three, what does it look like? What does it look like? So let's define love, because we use love for all kinds of things, don't we? I mean, I love banana pudding, which, by the way, Judy Fithian made this insane banana pudding for Hope Community, and I ate on it for like a week. And so I love it. I love banana pudding. I also love my wife. Right, but I promise you there's a difference. I promise you there's a difference between the way that I love Danielle and the way that I love banana pudding. And the same thing can be said for, we use that term so, it's sometimes so loosely, we just love everything. I love the rain, and I love my wife, and I love basketball, and I love, you know, all these things. We say that we love them. But there has to be a difference. There has to be a difference in the different kinds of love and the way that looks like. If you ask somebody what love is, in fact, if you were to just poll people and say, what do you think love is, like they did with the children, you'd get all kinds of answers. You might say love is like, it's like the butterfly feeling that you get when you really see somebody that you really like, or it's like the sweaty palms when there's somebody beside you that you really like, but if you go based off of that, then you're really just basing love on what you feel, right? You're basing it on a feeling. So if you were to Google it, if you were to Google love right now, you'd get like 10 billion responses and answers. Basic definition through dictionary is love is an intense feeling of deep affection. Another one says that love is a profoundly tender and passionate affection for another person. So again, that idea of that feeling. Another one I found when I just Googled what is love, and the definition said, love is giving the last piece of cake no matter how much you want it. I heard some amens. Listen to this definition from Paul Tripp, and this is kind of what we're going to work off this morning. Paul Tripp described it this way. Love is willing self-sacrifice for the good of another that does not require reciprocation, or that the person being loved is deserving of it. All right, so there's some key things in there. Notice that you didn't hear anything about feeling or emotion in that. It's willing self-sacrifice, giving up of yourself for the good of someone else that does not require that they give it back to you, that they reciprocate it. It's not contingent upon that, or that they are even deserving of it to begin with. That's what true biblical love is. That's what we see in Scripture. That's what we see time and time again, how God has expressed that true agape love to us. So that's what we're working off of. That's the biblical love. What is love? It's that willing self-sacrifice for the good of someone else. All right, so two, though, and here's where we're going to get into 1 John. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to follow along with me here. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read 7 through, let's read 7 through 11. We'll stop at 11. So where does love come from? Let's see what the Scripture says to us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So where does love come from? The answer, love comes from God. That's right. Love comes from God. Love wasn't our idea. It wasn't Hallmark's idea. It wasn't Hershey's idea. Love was God's idea. And so God created love and created a very good thing. And so love's like a good gift that he gives to us. So you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about how that we were created in the image of God, right? We talked about the sanctity of human life and how every human life was created in the image of God. And what that means is that God has created within you and me this capacity to know him, to love him, and to reflect him. That's what we define that as. The image of God is the capacity that God put in us to know him, to love him, and to reflect him. So God put in us, as in creation, he gave us this capacity to love him and to express that love to others and be loved by him. So we can feel love and we can be loved and we can express love. That's what he has created in us. And I think that's why within us there's this desire to have loving relationships. Now, the problem is, because of sin, we can love, but we can also hate. And we can also cause a lot of deep pain and hurt to others. So because of the fall, that what God has created as this perfect, great gift, we have oftentimes distorted and changed and turned to make it something that it's not. And so we have distorted what God created for example, within a husband and wife to have this incredible, loving relationship, and we've distorted it and we've turned it into something wicked and evil. And so we have taken what God has made as good and we've turned it into something else, but it still comes from him and it flows from him. So love comes from God. But again, it's something that he has created in us. I remember when Emma, our firstborn, when she was born, I was absolutely amazed. So Danielle and I had different experiences when she was pregnant. So Danielle got to know Emma for 9 months when she was in her tummy. And so she got to know her and talk to her, and she had a whole different experience than I did. So I was excited. I was really anticipating the coming of our little girl. But there was a difference in the way that we felt. So Danielle would say oftentimes, I'm so in love with this little baby that's inside of me. Like, I'm so in love. And I wanted to say that. I really did. But there was a part of me. And maybe you have a different experience, Ben. But for me, I guess because I couldn't see. It was just different for me. But when we went to the hospital and Emma was born, something insane happened inside of my heart. And so when I held that little girl into my hands, it was like, I couldn't even describe the unbelievable emotion and love that I had for this little girl that I just met. Like, I just met her. It's so much so that, like, I wanted to, this, like, protection instinct took over. And I remember the doctors came in one time because they had to, like, prick her heel. They had to do something to take some blood or something. And they're like, okay, Daddy, we need you to hold her down while we prick her heel. And I was like, no. I'm not going to hold my little girl down so that you can prick her. And they're like, well, no, you understand. We either you're going to hold her down or we're going to hold her down because we got to take this blood from her and all these things. And so I remember like holding her in that moment and they're sticking her heel and she's screaming and crying. And it was just like, I'm crying. She's crying. Danielle's crying. It was this crazy mess. Because I couldn't control this incredible love that I already had for her, this little girl that I'd already met. God had placed that within me because love comes from Him. Love flows from God. God created love as a good gift to us, but He created it so that we could have this relationship with Him that otherwise we would never have. So God created within us this capacity for love. All right. So what then does it look like? Because I can tell you stories. I can give you stories of my life and say, well, you know, this is what I think love looks like. But ultimately, that's not going to work for us because we need to know, since the one who created it, designed it, instilled it inside of us, gave us that capacity, then He's the one who gets to define what it looks like. He's the one who gets to say what love really is. And so there's a couple ways in Scripture that we see that. There's a couple ways that we see love defined and described for us. One way is we see it described in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You guys have, in fact, we've read it a couple times recently in our Hope Communities. We're going to look at it together, 1 Corinthians 13. We're just going to look, guys, at verses 4 through 7. And in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, we're going to see I just call them attributes of love. Like there's just some attributes that He gives to us of what love is and what love looks like. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Let's do this. I'm going to read, and as I do, I want you to think about something. So I want you to put your name in that place. In fact, we talked in our groups recently about this past several weeks about how when you're looking for a spouse, you're looking for a mate, someone said in our group, put your spouse's name in there and see if, or your future spouse, for those of you who are going to be looking for someone to marry, put their name in there. And does that match up? Does that align with their characteristics and their and who they are? But what I want you to do is not put somebody else's name in there. I want you to put your name in there. Because you ultimately can't control your husband or your wife. You can't control what they say, what they do, how they feel. You can't control those things, but you are responsible for you. So put your name in there. I want you to think about this as we read these things and say, okay, Lord, these attributes of love, are they true of me? Like this morning, are they true of me? The Bible says that love is patient. So then I would say, all right, Jared, is Jared patient? Love is kind. Does kindness flow out of me? Does compassion flow out of me? Love does not envy. And love is not boastful. Love is not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. Oh, boy. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness. Instead, it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So my prayer as I'm reading that is, okay, Lord, is that me? Am I quick to forgive? Or am I quick to hold on to things that have been done against me? When someone fails or disappoints or wrongs me, do I hang on to that and allow bitterness to grow in my heart? Or do I give that to God and I say, Lord, I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to let those things go. Choosing to give those things over to you. Listen to these words from Paul Tripp. When he's describing biblical love, I want you just to listen. He said, there is no such thing as love without sacrifice. Love calls you beyond the borders of your own wants and needs and feelings. Love calls you to be willing to invest time, energy, money, resources, personal ability, and gifts for the good of another. Love calls you to lay down your life in ways that are concrete and specific. Love calls you to serve, to wait, to give, to suffer, to forgive, and to do these things again and again and again. Love calls you to be silent when you want to speak, and to speak when you would like to be silent. Love calls you to act when you really want to wait, and it calls you to wait when you would like to act. Love calls you to stop when you really want to continue, and it calls you to continue when you feel like stopping. Love again and again calls you away from your instincts and your comfort. Listen, love always requires personal sacrifice. Love calls you to give up your life. That's the love that we see portrayed all throughout the Scripture. A love that gives, a love that sacrifices of itself. So I think in Scripture, when we're talking about what does it look like, there's two ways. We see it described to us. We get attributes of it. But thankfully, we get to see it demonstrated to us. I want you to look back in this verse in 1 John 4, verse 9. It says, in this, the love of God was made manifest. All right, so you see what he's saying? And this is the way that God's love was shown to us. That God sent his only Son into the world, which, by the way, he didn't have to do. He didn't have to send Jesus. He didn't have to give his only Son. He could have just left us in our sin. So that we might live through him. Verse 10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God. Not that we have loved him. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, literally, if God loved us in this way, so then we ought to love one another. That word propitiation is a big word. It literally means the wrath satisfier. Here's what that means. When we sinned against God, we sinned against the holiness of God. Therefore, we brought condemnation on ourselves. And because of that sin, there are always consequences, and so God's wrath stands against sin. So we are then condemned, like it says in John 3, 17 and 18, that we are condemned under this wrath of God unless someone takes that away. That's what the word propitiation means. It means that Jesus stepped in our place, the wrath of God that should have been on you and me, like that. The condemnation that should have been on you and me, Jesus took it and placed it on himself. And so when 1 Peter 2:24 would say that he himself bore our sins on the cross, that's literally what he did. He was the propitiation. He stepped in. So God doesn't just look over sin. He's not like, oh, you apologize for it, so it's okay. No, sin has to be paid for. And that's what Jesus did. So Jesus took the penalty and the payment and the punishment for sin, and he took it and he absorbed it on the cross. He paid that for us. That's what it means when it says that Jesus is the propitiation. Jesus is our wrath satisfier. He satisfies the wrath of God for us. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his love. Right? So love is demonstrated. So how has God demonstrated it? He demonstrated it this way, that while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. What's so amazing to me about that is that I wasn't pretty. I wasn't worthy of love. I wasn't like this little puppy dog in the store, and God's like, oh, you're so cute and amazing. Oh, I'm gonna rescue you out of like that's not the picture that we see. Instead, we get the picture that we're not these cute puppy dogs, we're enemies of God. We're rebels. And it's in that state that God steps in. And he accepts us, and he loves us, and he forgives us. So how do we know what true love looks like? Right. So when I'm thinking about what love looks like in relationship to my wife, and to my kids, and to my neighbors, and to my enemies, what does it look like? True love looks like this. True love looks like Jesus Christ stepping out of heaven, taking on the discomforts, the suffering of the world, then taking on the sins of the world and dying for those sins, giving up his life for the sake of others. But not just people that loved him, giving his life for the sake of his enemies. That's what real love looks like. Real love looks like in Mark 10, there's a story. I love this story where, Mark 10, Jesus is walking through one of the cities, and he encounters this man, I think his name is Bartimaeus. He's a blind beggar. So he walks past him, and again, if you know much, beggars were the outcasts of society. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. So Jesus is walking past, and this blind beggar hears that Jesus is coming, and he reaches out and he cries out to him and says, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Jesus hears that. Of course, the disciples hear that too, and they're like, don't bother with him. Like, he doesn't have time for you. Don't mess. Just stop. But as he was calling out, it says, then he cried out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." There's a phrase in that passage, you can look it up later, Mark 10, and it says, and then Jesus stopped. All right, so it's this picture, he's walking, there's people all around him, there's a man who's blind, who's begging, and he calls out for mercy, and it says, Jesus stopped. And then he turns, and he comes down to where this man is, and he stoops down, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. Instantly, he touches him, and his eyes are made whole again, and he sees. But that's not the one. That's not only. That's just one story. We see it again and again. We see a woman who's been caught in the act of adultery, casted down at the feet of Jesus. And what does it say? It says Jesus stoops down and he gets down on her level, right there where she is. And he says, "Those of you who have no sin, you cast the first stone." And instantly, they drop their stones and they leave. He says, "So who is here to condemn you?" Jesus is saying, "Not me." Because I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you, to rescue you. That's what it says in John 3, 16, 17, and 18. That we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But the next part says, but God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. But so that the world might be saved through him. That's why Jesus came, and that's how he expressed his amazing love. I wish I could say again that I knew and practiced what real biblical love is in my relationships all the time. And I wish I could say that I'm the example, but I can't. I can't say that. Because I don't, and I haven't always loved as the way that I'm called to love. But I have a God who's loved me in spite of my inability to love others. Like in spite of my inability to even love him back perfectly, he's loved me. So true biblical love is love that gives and sacrifices for the sake of someone else. I may have shared this story before, but I don't remember. So I'm going to share it again. The story goes that there was a little boy. There was a little boy who had a sister, a younger sister, who was really, really sick. She was in the hospital, and they found out that the boy, her older brother, had some antibodies in his blood, in the right blood type, that she needed in order to get over this sickness. And she was in the hospital, and he knew that she was really, really sick. Well, the doctors came to the little boy and said, hey, will you give your blood for your sister? Because we know that you have inside your blood what's going to make her well. And he looked kind of concerned about it, but he thought about it for a little while, and then he said, yeah, I'll do it. For the sake of my sister, if it's going to make her well, I will. I'll do it. So they got two beds together, and they were going to do a blood transfusion. So he laid down the bed, and he got his arm ready, and they hooked him up, and they were going to transfer some blood to his sister. And he laid there for a little while, and then he started to cry. And the doctor looked over at him and said, what's wrong? Is it hurting? Are you okay? No, it's not hurting. And he said, well, then what's going on? What is it? He just said, I just wanted to know, how soon will it be when I start to die? And the doctor said, what do you mean? And the little boy had misunderstood what he was happening there. The doctor only needed a couple pints of blood. The boy thought he had to give all of his blood for the sake of his sister. So he was willing to die so that his sister could live. That's love. That's what true love has been demonstrated to us. Because Jesus not only was willing to do it, he did it. He gave it all for you and for me. So my prayer this morning, just a crazy simple message is, God, would you, in our sinfulness, would you give us the grace that we need to love as you've called us to love? Because it's not easy. I don't think that just hearing this, we're going to all go home and we're going to love our husbands and wife perfectly. And suddenly we're going to be these great sacrificial, servants. And same thing goes with our kids. I don't think that suddenly we're going to be these incredible, perfect parents that never get angry at our children and never raise our voices again. And so we need God to work and transform our hearts. But let today be the starting point. Let today be the day where you say, all right, Lord, I do want to love the way that you loved. And so I'm asking for your help and I'm asking for your grace to love as you've called me to love. In fact, the best way that we can do that is by allowing the love of God to flow through our lives. And so when people see us and they hear our conversation and our speech to one another, they'll be feeling the love that God has for them. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this morning, and I thank you for the way that you demonstrate your love to us in spite of us. Even when we have not loved you back, when we in fact were your enemies, you poured your love out for us. Lord, this morning as we do think about our relationships, loving those around us that you've placed in our lives, we first confess that we fail every day and that we need your help. Lord, I imagine even this morning that there's relationships that have been broken that you long to restore. There's conflict going on right now in marriages or families or work situations. And so, Lord, I ask that you would teach us, show us what real love is so that we can then express that to others. But God, we need your help in that. So we repent of our selfishness, of our pride, of our arrogance, of our self-centeredness. We repent of those things this morning and ask that you would fill us with your love. I pray that you would do that this morning in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to spend some time together. We're going to sing. If you need to, if you just need to pray, if you just need to pray quietly, if you want somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you as well. If you have a question about the love of God, what that looks like, and maybe you've never felt that, maybe you don't know what it means to be loved by God and accepted by Him and forgiven of your sins, I hope that you wouldn't leave today before you talk to me about it. Because I would love just to sit down and show you what it means to be forgiven of your sin, to have new life. Maybe the next few moments you just need to reflect on that 1 Corinthians 13 passage. Say, God, is this me? And maybe even ask, so where is this not me? And God, will you change that in my heart? So take the next few minutes and let's sing together.